KMXT in Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, will fisheries be affected if the humpback whale is removed from the endangered species list? There's a big forecast for Togiak herring, but with the world glut and low prices, will anybody show up to catch them? All that and quit complaining. That's the smell of money. Coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
Humpback whales have had protection under the Endangered Species Act since 1970 after whaling threatened their existence. Now the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration proposes to categorize humpbacks into 14 distinct population segments, or DPSs, and take 10 of those groups off the list of endangered or threatened animals. The delisting could have ramifications for commercial fishermen in Alaska, Hawaii, and the west coast of the lower 48. Though no longer considered endangered, the whales will still be protected from hunting by the International Whaling Commission and harassment by the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Bree Witteveen, a University of Alaska marine mammal specialist at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center, says the people who will be most affected by the delisting are regional fishing groups, some of which petitioned NOAA to reevaluate humpback whales as endangered.
The whole reason that NOAA went through and reevaluated humpback whales is because they were petitioned by certain groups to reevaluate their status as an endangered species. And one of these groups was, for example, a fishing group in Hawaii who felt that they shouldn't be designated as endangered species anymore. And so it generally could result in, you know, more fishing areas being opened up or less restriction on where they can fish and interact with whale habitat, for example.
NOAA proposes to keep two populations on the threatened list, both of which enter U.S. waters on occasion, the Central America segment and the Western North Pacific segment. The other two, which would remain on the endangered list, are in the Arabian Sea and around the Cape Verde Islands off of northwest Africa. Witteveen said that as biologists tried to define separate distinct populations, they found more intermixing than they originally anticipated.
Folks assumed that all the whales that fed in Alaska would migrate down to Hawaii to breed, and all the whales that fed in California would migrate down to Mexico to breed. And the more that we studied the whales, the more we understood that it wasn't nearly as simple as that. And so you get animals that are breeding in Mexico, for example, and you might find some of those animals feeding off of California or off Kodiak or even into the Aleutian Islands.
NOAA has opened a 90-day public comment period on the delisting and welcomes feedback on the proposal. The Togiak sacro herring season is an annual harbinger of fishing activity to come in Dillingham and Bristol Bay. This year, though, despite a large forecast of herring, there looks to be low participation in the fishery. That seems to be due to an expected price of $50 or less per ton. KDLG's Hannah Colton has more.
While wandering around the boat harbor this week, I did start to see some signs of life. The gates to the PAF yard have been opened, a handful of fishermen are working on their boats, and the supply stores are open for business. Mike Sparks of Alaska Nets says he and his son Matt arrived a bit earlier than usual this spring.
We're just here to, you know, do some remodeling, get things ready, and support any herring fishermen that will be here.
Okay. Have you had herring guys coming in already?
Or? Just a couple, yeah. And some of them are trying to find a market. Some are trying to figure out if they're really going to fish.
That's something I heard a lot this week. Folks trying to figure out, is the herring fishery still worth it? There should be a lot of herring to harvest, but the price for Pacific herring is way down, and that's creating mixed emotions around the fishery. But despite all that, two seiners from Dillingham have decided to head out to Togiak this weekend. Skipper Robert Hyano was on board the Lady Mindy on a windy Tuesday morning, mending gear. He seemed relatively unfazed by the low forecast price.
I'm a creature of habit. I've been doing it since 78. There's not too much other fishing opportunities here, especially if you live here, other than salmon. So it's an opportunity where I can participate with basically the same equipment.
For Hyano, it seems the decision is simple. He'd rather be fishing than not. And he says it's not that expensive to go out with a local crew.
You know, as long as I don't run the boat up in the rocks or tear up the nets, there's still a little bit of money in there. So to me, it makes sense and hold my spot to have a market, which is pretty important.
Paul Friis Mikkelsen, skipper of the Skagerrak, is seining for the first time in a decade. He thinks an underwhelming Canadian catch and a small quota out of Sitka this year could trigger a bump in the price of Togiak herring. And in what looks to be a small fleet, each seine crew will have their hands full. As Friis Mikkelsen said, you have to catch a lot of fish at $50 a ton. And that's the kind of calculation that might be scaring away gillnetters entirely. After asking around all week, I wasn't able to find a single Dillingham gillnetter bound for Togiak. One gillnet skipper, Frank Woods, said the low price is keeping him away. His market couldn't guarantee even $40 a ton, and unfortunately, he said that math just doesn't work out. Matt O'Connell, skipper of the Owen, says he invested in new gillnet gear for herring in 2014.
I went last year and enjoyed it, and we actually made a little bit of money, but this year I have so many commitments and projects on the boat.
O'Connell said it actually would be worth it to go for herring again this year, but with vessels needing work, his time is better spent getting ready for salmon.
Yeah, exactly. I have a couple of large projects that I want to get done before the monster salmon run, so herring, it would just make that too busy, too tight of a schedule. Yeah.
Okay. What kind of stuff do you
have? Remounting a reel and doing some refrigeration work and lots of nets to hang. My son, his boat right there has an engine that's going to get put in, so I'm going to help with that. So between all of that, you know, busy.
On the buyer side, there are five processors lined up to purchase herring this year. That list does not include Icicle's Wood River plant, which is working on some upgrades ahead of the salmon season. According to Fish and Game, the earliest harvest from the Togiak herring fishery was in 2003. It was April 25th. Now, looking at high sea temperatures this spring, Fish and Game says it's possible we could see a new record earliest start date for herring this year. In Dillingham, I'm Hannah Colton.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the show online on demand at kmxt.org.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
Trident Seafoods will begin testing a new fish meal plant in Naknek in the coming weeks, and it's causing a stink around town, or maybe not. Some residents voice concerns the new plant will cause the town to smell like fish. But KDLG's Matt Martin reports Trident has installed an air filtration system to hopefully wash away the odors along with local apprehensions.
Construction workers hammer and weld to the twang of country music as they wrap up construction on the fish mill plant in Naknek. The walls are still unfinished drywall, and wooden stairs stand in for a future elevator. Project manager Bob Bates shows off the largest piece of machinery in the plant, a 50-foot-long, 60,000-pound dryer.
Because we actually set this unit here when this was still all mud and dirt. So we built the building around this dryer.
The dryer spins around in the center of the factory like a giant rolling pin.
The inside of this thing looks like something out of a sci-fi movie with all the teeth and the blades and everything in it to mix it and turn it and churn it through and get it rolling through.
About a quarter mile of tubing moves all the leftover parts after a fish is filleted or canned. That's the heads, guts, fins, and bones. They come from Trident's processing plant to this new $15 million-plus fish meal plant. After being ground up and dried, the byproduct of salmon can become animal feed and even those fish oil pills you can buy at Costco. Trident also owns separate companies that produce fish meal products.
Fish meal makes great fertilizer. It's pure fish protein.
But some Naknek residents were and still are leery about having a fish mill plant in town. They have a reputation of being smelly.
You know, I talked to different people that have been to Kodiak and Dutch Harbor, and and various other places.
That's Jay King. He runs an aviation service in Naknek and is among those still not convinced the plant won't stink up the town. King's not opposed to the plant so much as he is opposed to its location.
Being next to the post office, the school, the clinic, my brother's apartment building, I just didn't think that it was such a good idea to have a potential odor issue with all of these, you know, entities.
Others say with or without the new fish mill plant, summertime odor is a common issue and comes with the territory.
This is a fishing town.
Russell Phelps is a commercial fisherman and member of the borough assembly. He thinks taking waste out of the water might actually help the smell.
And so the beaches in the late July and August stink considerably already. So if we could avoid that, I'd be very happy.
Before the borough gave its consent to Trident to build, a few members traveled to Newport, Oregon to tour a 20-year-old fish mill plant that had been upgraded with modern technology similar to what's being used in Naknek. They came back less skeptical. The assembly heard from plenty of concerned residents, but in the end voted to approve the fish mill plant. Some supporters think fish mill may be the future of the fishery, and others appreciate what will be added tax revenue to the borough. Phelps was among the yes votes.
We shouldn't stop a project just because we think it's going to stink.
Trident has a strong reputation in town, and the seafood giant says it puts nearly $1 million in taxes annually into the borough, and tens of thousands more in charitable donations. Project manager Bob Bates says Trident will do what it takes to stay good with neighbors in the community.
From day one, the goal was to keep the odor down, to clean up the river and, you know, basically produce a meal.
And at the heart of its effort to keep the odor down is a new air filtration system. Standing at the base of a 3-story metal tube with ducting that snakes around the entire warehouse, Bates describes how it will keep the smell of drying fish waste out of the breezy bayside town of Naknek.
So basically what we're doing is we're drawing fresh air down below and we're sucking everything up to ensure that we capture all the odors and everything that comes through this facility and gets pushed through these scrubbers.
Inside are thousands of white scrubbers that look like wiffle balls. Water is sprayed down as the air rises. The odor molecules stick to the water.
By the time the air comes back out of here, we pulled the majority of all the odors out with this system and all the dust.
Some residents, like Jay King, say they'll have to wait and see, or rather smell, what happens.
You know, it's here, and I'm honestly just hoping that it is as advertised by Trident.
They'll get their chance soon enough. Trident plans to run a final test of the system with water in a few days. But as far as a true test with fish heads and guts, well, Bob Bates says he can build factories, but he can't control fish. They'll test it for real when the Togiak herring arrive, probably before the month is out. In Dillingham, I'm Matt Martin.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KMXT's Kayla DeRoche in Kodiak and KDLG's Hannah Colton and Matt Martin in Dillingham. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.